Scripture reading this morning is Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a low-grade fear, an edginess, a cold wind that won't stop howling. It's not so much a storm, but the certainty that one is coming. One is always coming. Sunny days are just an interlude, simply a moment. You can't relax, can't let your guard down. All peace is temporary. It's short-lived. It's not the sight of the fierce dog, but the suspicion of one or two or 10 behind every wall, behind every turn. Inevitable. It's just a matter of time until the fierce animal leaps up out of the shadows and attacks you. Attacks your family, attacks your bank account, attacks your business, and attacks whatever's left after that. There's trouble out there, so you don't sleep very well. You don't laugh often. You don't enjoy sunny days. You don't feel comfortable as you walk. And when others do these things, you give them a look. That look. You know the look. The are you naive look. You may even share some words with them. Haven't you heard what's happening in our world? Haven't you heard what the studies have said? Haven't you seen the wars that are raging? The rand's down again. There's very little hope. Terrorists terrorize. Good people turn bad. The fine print is found. Misfortune lurks out there. It's just a matter of time. Anxiety is a meteor shower of what ifs. What if I don't close the deal? What if I don't make the sale? What if I don't get the bonus? What if I cannot afford braces for my kids? What if the kids have crooked teeth? And what if the crooked teeth keep them from having friends, a career, a spouse? What if they end up homeless on the corner holding a cardboard sign that says, my parents couldn't afford braces for me? Anxiety is suspicion. It's a life focused on concerns. The sky is falling. The whole sky is falling on you. As a result of all of this, we're anxious. A sense of dread hovers over you. It's a feeling you have in your heart. A nagging hunch about things that might happen sometime in the future, maybe. Anxiety and fear are not twins. They could be close cousins, though. Fear sees a threat. Anxiety imagines one. Fear screams, get out. Anxiety ponders, what if? Fear results in flight or fight. Anxiety creates doom and gloom. Fear is that pulse that you feel when you see a large, coiled, green snake on your front lawn. Anxiety is the voice in your head saying, don't go out in case there is a large green coiled snake on your front lawn. Anxiety takes our breath away, but that's not all that it takes away. It takes away our sleep, it takes away our freedom, it takes away our energy, it takes away our well-being. Psalm 37 verse 8 says this, do not fret, it only leads to harm. Harm to our necks, our jaws, our backs, our bowels. Anxiety can twist our insides. Anxiety can make our blood pressure go up. It can make our hearts beat faster. Anxiety is not fun. As I'm sharing this morning, you or somebody you know struggles with anxiety. It's something that's on the increase. In the book, The Anxious Generation, Dr. Jonathan Haidt says that children and young people are going through a change because they have gone from a play-based childhood to a screen-based childhood. And the change that is happening is a change towards anxiety. And we're going to see a very anxious generation in the near future. But what about us? What about you and me? Why are we so anxious? Is it because we've filled our lives with more and more and more and more? Is it because we face huge demands? Huge demands in our work, huge demands in our family, huge demands in parenting, huge demands in society. Anxiety is also caused by change. In the last 50 years, we've seen more change than has happened in the last 300 years. Think about what has changed. Technology, nuclear bombs, the internet, increased warnings about global warming, the threat of unrest and war, terrorist attacks, and there are many, many more. Changes and new threats are imported into our lives every few seconds thanks to our dumb smartphones. When my parents were alive, when my grandparents were alive, if there was an earthquake on the other side of the world, it would take 2 or 3 days before they even knew about it. My parents would listen to the evening news, and it made it onto the news, they would hear about it that evening. But now every minute, almost every second, something happens, we know about it. We're exposed to so many things so rapidly. Many people find themselves in an anxious place. We've got news flooding in 24/7, 365. Nothing like falling asleep with the accounts of murder and tragedies on your brain. And listen, you might think that Christians should be exempt from worry. I mean, we read it in the Word. We are in the world, but not of the world. Surely we shouldn't be suffering from anxiety, but we do. We've heard that the Christian life is a life of peace, and so we don't have peace. Then we think the problem might be with us. Not only do we feel anxious, but we feel guilty because we're feeling anxious. This is never an upward trend. It's always a downward spiral. It is enough to cause a person to get anxious. And then we think about Paul as he writes the scripture. Was he really in touch with reality? Do not be anxious about anything. Would have been a little bit easier if he'd said, be less anxious, or only be anxious on Thursdays, or only be anxious about the really, 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 really tough things. He doesn't give us any leeway here. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Nothing, nada, zilch, zero, nothing. Do not be anxious about anything. As you look at the Greek, there's something really interesting that you might not realize. The Greek phrase always is talking about the present active tense. It's talking about the now into the future. He's saying, do not live a life of perpetual anxiety. Moments of anxiety are going to come. But we could rewrite this to say, don't let anything in life leave you perpetually breathless or in angst. Or maybe we could say this. The presence of anxiety is unavoidable. The prison of anxiety is optional. Can I say that one more time? The presence of anxiety is unavoidable. The prison of anxiety is optional. Anxiety is not a sin. It's an emotion. So don't be anxious about feeling anxious. But anxiety can lead to sinful behavior. People numb their anxiety with alcohol. Or they spew their anger like a volcano. Or they direct themselves towards unhealthy habits. If anxiety leads you to abandon your spouse, neglect your kids, break covenants, break hearts, beware. Jesus says this in Luke 21 verse 34. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. Is your heart weighed down with worry, overburdened? Watch out. It's a trap. How would you answer the following questions? Do you see problems in every promise? Are you increasingly more negative and critical? Do you assume that something bad is going to happen? Do you dilute or downplay good news with doses of your version of reality? Do you magnify the negative and dismiss the positive? If you answered yes to any or all of those questions, I have a friend you need to draw alongside. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter 5 verse 7. Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Where else can you go for God's comfort and guidance in anxious times? Go to God. Different places you might find yourself as you seek to unburden yourself with anxiety. Maybe Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside quiet waters. Maybe the Lord's Prayer. Maybe John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Or maybe this scripture, Philippians 4 verse 4 to 8. Five verses, five promises. You might have missed it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Celebrate God's goodness. Let your requests be known to God. Ask God for help. Ask him to help you at this time. With thanksgiving. So we need to be thankful. Think about things that are good and worthy of praise. Celebrate, ask, be thankful, meditate or think. And then the final promise, the peace of God. Who doesn't need the peace of God? Even if you're not an anxious person, that's a very tempting offer. Do you know that the Bible is the most highlighted book on the Kindle? If you've got a Kindle, it's the most highlighted book. And do you know what the most highlighted verse is in the most highlighted book on the Kindle? You guessed it. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. You're not alone if you're needing comfort. And God is ready to give it. With God as your shelter, you will sleep better. You will reframe the way you face your fears. You will learn to view bad things through his eyes, through his divine plan. You'll discover that life doesn't have to be characterized by the down and the sad, but rather develop tools to work with your anxiety. It requires some work, but it's really worth it. Just a moment of warning. Just a moment of warning. Anxiety cannot simply be waved away with a Sunday morning sermon. If you came in here this morning an anxious person, you might not walk out with that fixed. For some, healing might include a professional, maybe even prescription medication. If that's you, please don't worry. Don't think for a moment that you're a second-class citizen of heaven. Ask God to lead you to a qualified counselor or physician, somebody that can help, and get the right help that you need. It may be important for you to talk to Anne Fanamerve in our church. She runs the SADAC group, South African Depression and Anxiety Group. They have a meeting, a support group that runs. Maybe you need to speak to her. But this much, I'm sure. It's not God's will that you and I lead a life of perpetual anxiety. It's not God's will that we face every day with dread and trepidation. Definitely not. God created you and I for more than that. He gave us life. He gave us life in abundance. God has a new chapter for both you and I. And he's ready to write it. Maybe you need to meditate on Psalm 56 verse 9. This I know, that God is for me. This I know, that God is for me. We often say God is with me, but this is slightly different. God is for me. God's not against me. He's not my enemy. He's not abandoned us in some strange way. And he's not either decided that we are not worthy of his time and his love. No, none of that. This I know, that God is for me. Can you say that with me? This I know, that God is for me. I know this with a certainty. And if I was not sure, Paul reminds us in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? With God on your side, you're always the majority. This I know, that God is for me. With this truth, we can face whatever difficulties are coming our way. Whatever dangers are lurking around the corner. Whatever uncertainties are out there. There is this guaranteed certainty that will lead us forward into an uncertain future and will help us through the pains of the present. This I know, that God is for me. God loves his children. God oversees the world. God monitors your life. He is our shield. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. Nothing will come your way apart from his permission. As you go to scripture and you listen carefully, you will hear God, your heavenly Father, saying, everything is secure. You can rest. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. By his power, you will be anxious for nothing, and you will have the peace which surpasses all understanding.